Hey, everybody. Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
I pointed at myself.
You did.
And no one else
didn't know.
And Kate, no one else saw it. Just the two of you. But just in case you guys didn't know that I'm Cassie.
You know,
it's
been a long weekend. It's been a holiday weekend. God. We're tired.
Oh. Yep.
These
no judgment.
Trying times, but most amazing times. We mm-hmm. had family Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Family. Thursday. Yeah.
Family Thanksgiving. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Felt so fucking good.
Yeah. So good. And you know, I was worried because this is my first Thanksgiving not eating meat, and your husband makes brisket. The most incredible brisket. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to be so bummed out. But there was so much food.
So much.
And there were like so many sides.
There were a lot of vegan dishes.
Yeah, lots of vegetarian dishes. I was so like stuffed. It was awesome. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I've basically been like freebasing Pepto-Bismol since I'm not okay.
I mean, I am not okay.
Honestly.
I saw the Zantac out this morning. Chris is not okay either.
Yeah. It's been a weekend of sides, of drinks, and of extreme bloating.
And drinks. Yes. So, and drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ooh. What else do we have going on? We're thankful for Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Always
having cute stories in the news to make me.
I really want one of those candles, those like prayer candles that has Keanu Reeves on it. Yes. I really feel like he's earned that. It's like him, Dolly Parton. Yes. Like there's like a handful of people who I'm like, you've earned this candle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I thought about that recently because I have a Salvador Dali and a Betty Page one. And I was like, and now I'm like at the place where I'm like, is that just like really bad?
Like, it's like sacrilegious in
some
way?
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess not that I give a shit.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not Catholic.
I'm not Catholic.
I like the design of it.
I think it's cool.
And I'm perfectly, I think Dolly Parton is a saint, so I don't think having her on one of those candles is anything. And from all stories that we hear about Keanu Reeves, it sounds like he is,
saint
too.
As well. Saint
Keanu.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for both of those candles, actually. Mm-hmm. I do love a very sacrilegious saint candle. I can't help
I
myself.
I do, too.
I can't help it. And I have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love both of them. And I would definitely decorate my entire house with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love a candle, period.
I do. It has to either, if it's, to me, it has to be really, really cool. Like a saint candle.
You are not the type of person that lights candles for doing it, though.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no. I don't either. Oh. You know the time. No.
Exactly. I always burn the fucking place down. God
always
damn.
See it in the movies.
It's not.
And I've never done it. I've what? Never done it
who
with
does
candles.
It?
Who does?
If you do it, please write in and let us know. Because I don't know anybody who's just
it
like, I gotta
romantic.
Set the mood. I mean, but it does. I love candlelight. Like, I think candlelight like, is romantic. Like,
it's like
so
petals.
Beautiful. But it's like, who has the time
honey.
To go around lighting candles? And also, just my anxiety,
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to focus on like having sex because I'd be like, I'm going to burn my apartment down.
100%. Like, did I consider like after the fact, because we were way too drunk on your wedding night, that Amy and Mackenzie had gone up and lit 1,000 tea lights in your room with flower petals and nobody was up there for hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, the staff did luckily go and check every now and again. Like they went and they were relighting ones that burnt out. Which is just like above and beyond.
So and you have extra. Done it to candles.
That didn't mean she kept them on.
We blew those out because we had to navigate to the bed. And I was like, I'm not going to trip over all of these candles. It was beautiful. It was like pictures.
It's a picture.
But I was just like, And same. Gorgeous. I'm so happy they did it. Yeah. Like, beautiful. But my anxiety brain is like, we're in like a 200-year-old.
Yeah,
amen.
It's very much dry wood situation.
Yes.
Literally. We combust immediately.
A lot of tapestry as well.
That's
you
right.
Know, like, there's like heavy curtains and shit.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm just like, this feels like a Jane Eyre situation. Like waiting to happen.
No.
Like lighting the curtains on fire.
We're the new ghosts of this bitch. Oh,
oh
shit.
My God. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I also feel like with flower petals, right? Like I am the kind of person that has like this weird anxiety about things getting in places that they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Not that I think of flower, but will my subconscious allow me to have sex on anything that just
might sneak up your cooch?
Isn't clean
yeah.
as all the cleanest of things?
Mm-hmm.
No, I cannot. I don't know. I can't sleep naked because of that. Because I don't know. I don't know what
I'm very weird about sleeping naked too. Weird. I am very weird about it.
I don't want things sneaking in there. No, what could I don't possibly?
Know, but
what
it could. Is? I don't know.
Not a thing. Nothing.
That is the best anxiety ever.
It's the worst. It's along the lines of balloons. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, that one makes more sense. That one does make more sense. Because I'm with you on that one. Because it could. Like, I need as many barriers to entry as possible. For like a bug.
What kind of things do you think bugs. Are in your apartment?
100% bugs. Spiders.
Bugs
for
are
sure.
not going to crawl up your vagina.
You don't know.
You don't know that.
You don't know that. Don't
I'm
going
to Google that. And is also, that a prevalent Keegan, thing that happens Keegan, that we need to be scared about?
For argument's sake, balloons are just as scary because it's just as equally possible that I get someone spit on me when a balloon pops. So I'll just say that.
Okay.
That is just equally as disgusting.
If you have a fear of spit, then yes.
I hate spit so much that you know how much I love our friend's babies.
Yeah.
But Johnny got like drool on me.
He did.
I almost gagged. And I love him so much. You can't understand how much I love him.
Yeah.
But he drooled on me and I was like,
yeah,
I started sweating a little bit.
I had a story for today and I was like, it is so, so foul. It is by far the foulest date story I've ever. Oof. I was like, we've all had a rough weekend.
Maybe not this weekend.
I can't share it today. Not yet. I will definitely at some point share it. It is by far. I had a little bit of a
oh no,
moment, and I was like, Cassie would literally die. And so not this weekend. It's not the weekend.
Yeah,
and it's also the holiday season, and something just felt so wrong about going.
We'll wait till
we'll ring in the new year.
That's right.
Exactly.
With this awful.
Yeah, but for now, you know, it's the holiday season. We'll keep it light and keep it moving. So,
Well, we have to bring up why we brought up.
I was going to say we totally said we're thankful for Keanu Reeves, and then
skimmed right over it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So recently, it has come to apparently he and Winona's attention that they actually may be married, because in Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, they got married in front of an actual priest. And did like a full straight through
said
vows.
All the vows, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess Scorsese, right?
No, Coppola. Not
Coppola.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a very different movie.
Very.
I'm not a cop. I'm not Dracula. Exactly. According to Coppola, he's like, yeah, no, you guys got married that day.
No.
They didn't sign a marriage license.
Yeah. Speaking of, as. You know, we know all the paperwork that goes into that bullshit. So, yeah, it's yeah.
But I do think it's cute because he was like, you know, I'm married to Winona in my heart or whatever, because they still have a really cute relationship. Yeah. I mean, he is now like married, but I'm sure it's all in good fun. Yeah. It's all like lighthearted. She's got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Fun. I love examples of like really healthy, amazing male-female relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friendships.
Yeah, yeah. That are just like supportive and amazing and everything. You don't see a lot of stories about that, especially in Hollywood. Like even if two people are hanging out, that's like immediately like, they're dating.
Blah, blah. Oh, well, speaking of that.
Right. Are we going to talk about Brad and Gaga?
No, I want to talk about Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd. Did you hear about that?
That is like a Mad Lib. Mad Lib.
Thank you. I saw that and it passed my eyes, my brain, and it immediately left the room. I was like, I can't. I have no room for it in here.
I Googled it because I was like, is this for real? Like, I was like, is this for real or is this like some silly thing? But apparently, like, they've been hanging out since like July. Like, consistently.
Oh.
Going to dinner. Since July.
I got to be honest. I don't know where to put it in my brain.
I don't either.
It just doesn't fit. Like, I don't have a place for it.
You know, though, I have to say, relationships like this,
no.
I love them. I don't know why.
Like, couples?
I love an odd couple. Okay. Like, I love a, like, because all it makes me think is just, like, what is going on there? Like, what is it about you? What was it like when you two are alone? Because there has to be something that's just like magnetic about these two people, because on paper, they don't seem like they make any sense.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, it's the Kanye or not Kanye. I'm sorry. It's the Kim Kardashian and
Pete Davidson. That one makes more sense to me.
To me, too.
Okay, totally.
It does. Okay. It does.
Yeah, I can put in. I have a little drawer in my brain that I can go in.
You're like, I'm going to file this under this, and this goes into the travel section.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Like, this I can file somewhere.
Yeah, I can package that. Like, that one, I can tell myself a story that, like, makes sense. With The Weeknd and Angelina Jolie, it doesn't make sense, and that's why I'm so interested, because I'm like, man, I want to know what conversations are you having? Like, what was your first meeting like? Like, what was your first date like? Like, what's going on in that relationship? Because I bet it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. If every, like, relationship is, like, some form of, like, Venn diagram, I just don't see where their circles overlap.
Right.
Yeah. I think, I come from such disparate places.
But they're both they're kind of, like, mysterious people. Like, right. I feel like they both have, like, weird hidden depths. Like, hidden, like, layers, and they probably relate on,
like, that. They both bonded over a love of Italian cooking or something.
Yeah. Right?
I have no idea. You're like, wait,
what? We don't know anything about them. Right? Yeah, so it's like, we don't know. I don't know, you know?
That's so funny. They love foreign films. Yes. Like, they have a real penchant for it.
Yeah,
like,
maybe. Like, There's a lot of stuff we don't know about either one of them, so maybe the Venn diagram with the circle overlaps more than we think.
And Angelina Jolie does not have a type. Like, let's be real. Because, she married Billy Bob Thornton and Brad Pitt.
I mean, it's really all
two
over
people
the place.
On the opposite side of that spectrum, you know?
Yeah, like, she does not marry for looks. But The Weeknd is not good looking. That's the thing. So it's not like, that's the thing. I can't file it into, like, its personality or whatever, because it just doesn't, like, Weeknd's not good looking. He's good looking.
Right.
Yeah, he's very
stylish.
It
just is, like, you're right. Like, it's like where I don't see the, what do I know?
Yeah.
What do I know?
I don't know, but I want to, like,
I want to know more.
Like, that's the thing about these kinds of relationships.
Well, I want to know more about what you were saying. Is Brad, is there a Brad relationship?
Gaga?
Yeah, so
Brad Pitt and Lady Gaga.
No. Bradley Cooper. Right. Oh. So apparently, like, there's been more talk about it again. Like, it's been brought up again. Oh. Like, people are, like, back on the, like, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga train. I see, like, memes again starting to come up, and it's just, like, apparently he'd come out and said something that we already fucking knew, which was that, like their performance, that, you remember,
he'd
already said, he's like, we were trying to make it match the film. It was, like, that energy. We were trying to match. It was a performance. Ugh. But apparently people cannot get enough. I kind of agree. There is a part of me that really wants to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're both with other people, though, right?
Who? I don't think, I think they're both single.
I don't know.
They were at the time. Now, he was married, or he was with Arena,
somebody.
Arena
Shake.
And
she's with somebody else now.
She was with somebody at the time, but they're broken up too. I don't think that either of them are dating anybody right now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Fingers crossed we have something to look forward to this holiday season.
Yeah.
Yeah, give us that
we
gift.
We deserve
Come on.
It, honestly.
We do.
We've been so good, Santa.
It was a hard year. Okay.
So good this year. But we have to talk about the other thing that has been trending as well, which is the Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Oh, yeah. That, like, goblin line cook.
It's just what, like, is it? It's in our, somebody sent it to us in our Instagram.
So someone on Twitter tweeted about the opposite of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Calling the, like, chaos goblin line cook.
Is there a better fucking title for that?
It's absolutely perfect. You know exactly what they're talking about.
100%.
Because it's all, like, it's Machine Gun Kelly, Travis Barker, and Pete Davidson. It's, like, and tall, thin, tattooed white guys.
That's right.
All the guys I dated in my 20s.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that they were like, when the line cook starts dating the waitresses, I was like, yes.
Exactly.
That is the most 100% spot on. Like, the shit is so funny.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing that, like, especially the Kardashian Jenners, I feel like they have, like, trends.
Yeah.
In who, like, the family starts dating. Like, now I kind of want to see, like, are Kylie and Khloe, are they going to start dating people with similar, like, aesthetics?
Men as an accessory.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, this fall's accessory is the Chaos Goblin Lime Cook. It's just pairs great with a great, like, Gucci or whatever.
Exactly.
So what is next season? What is spring 22 look like?
It is so true. It really is an accessory. That is such a, it reminds me of when Paris would carry her dog around, and it was like everybody. Now, to be fair, Paris does seem to really love her dogs and has really taken care of her pets, and it was more than an accessory. I think that a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon because of her, but I do think that she's legit.
Yeah.
I will say that.
You're like, for the record.
For the record.
No shade on Paris.
I, listen, she is not like, it's not somebody I'm she's like a real she's ride a or die for her.
Queen, but, man. She's yeah. a maverick and listen, a legend.
Good for her. And look at her now. Like, she's married and I think it's cute. Like, I'm happy for her.
Well, speaking then of Chaos Goblin line cooks, I do think that you just revealed our FMK.
Yeah.
I think we have to do Machine Gun Kelly, Travis Barker, and Pete Davidson.
We've done Pete Davidson in the past. All three of these people sound like, actually, I know exactly what I'm going to do.
It sounds like a lot of hands on the bedside.
Yeah.
Like, they have
cigarette butts in them.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Gross. Yeah. You're right. And it smells. Nope. Yes. It smells like stale cigarettes.
It smells like a waterbed is what it smells like to me.
Ew. Ew.
Don't forget to turn that heater on.
Stale weed.
Pete, okay. Don't forget to turn your heater on.
I'm gonna just straight up kill Machine Gun Kelly. I don't like him. Like, he's out. You're out immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately, honestly. No. Immediately, no. It's go away. No. I am weed. Go away.
I could literally not hate that less.
So great. It's so gross.
I don't know that much about Travis Barker.
Hell of a drummer.
I know that I used to fantasize about that drum video that he did to Soulja Boy. I was like, yeah. What?
He's got a strength about him.
So hot. So
that hot. That man looks like he's, you know, he's skinny, but he's strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to throw you around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I like that. We all know how I feel about Pete Davidson.
You know what? I bet he's fun, though.
Oh, he must be.
He's a fun time.
Look, that's the thing.
He's got to be fun. He's got to be nice. He wouldn't be pulling
a
list.
That's
if he wasn't like
everyone
a fun,
has
good dude.
These question marks about Pete Davidson. And they're like, why? And I'm like, he's probably just
normal.
Nice.
Yeah. And nice.
You
and
know?
Funny.
The bar is on the floor. We're like normal and nice.
And nice. Yeah.
The bar is fine. On the floor.
Oh, God.
True.
So, you know, with that said, I wonder what it would be like to marry Pete Davidson, but I'm not going to do it because I feel like Pete, I just feel like he's got a little growing up to do before he's ready to like actually get married. Like, he seems like he would be great to date. Like, he would be a good time actually. He seems like he's down for whatever, which is cool and fun. But I think I'm going to fuck Pete Davidson and stay friends with him because he seems like it would be fun to like go to a bar in New York.
Sure.
You know, and hang out with Pete Davidson. So
absolutely.
Yes, on that. I'm going to marry Travis Barker.
Okay.
Like maybe it's because he's older. Like, there's like a level of maturity that I feel like is there with Travis Barker, and he's quiet.
Yeah. Oh, and I get to see, like, I bet you can get into any fucking concert you want to go
100.
To. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm here for and that he is all
talented.
Access pass. Yeah. He's so talented.
So talented.
I'm on the same fucking board, across the board. Completely. I think,
same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Travis Barker that makes him marryable is what you said, right? Like, he does, there's a maturity. He's quiet. I think that for myself personally, I feel like I am too much of a Pete Davidson myself to marry a Pete Davidson.
We can be friends.
Oh, yeah. Chaos.
Truly.
For sure. Like, was a line cook. So, I mean, we clearly can't.
You have too much in common.
Too much in common.
Yeah.
But I agree. Like, he's fun. We would have so much fun.
Yeah.
Do I want to go ride roller coasters with Pete Davidson?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do I actually feel like I would want to hold hands with Pete Davidson? Like, do I feel like he'd be fun? Yeah.
I bet he has really big hands. Like, I bet you holding hands with him would be. I bet holding hands with him would be like cozy.
Yeah.
You know, like. I like it.
I want that hug. I want to hug your middle chest.
Yes.
but like, yeah, no, I agree. Not marrying type. And
not yet.
No, we're a small doses friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can hang out, but you could see how it could turn chaotic very quickly.
Very quickly.
Too quickly.
Yeah. And also, no, you know what? I'm not going to go spreading rumors about that man on this podcast.
Oh, God. So, I'll TJ Foss will come after you.
Yeah, I got to do the same thing, too. You know, Travis Barker just seems like You know, not only like the all access to like lots of different concerts and stuff. He looks like somebody that would be really interested in watching a documentary with me.
Oh, yeah. Like I get that vibe, right? Yeah. Like he's got that kind of like, he's quiet.
Yeah.
Where like with Machine Gun Kelly, I feel like he's like constantly trying to prove that he's something or interesting or like whatever.
I just don't feel cool enough. Like Machine Gun Kelly, it just feels like he's still like, you know, like
I feel like I'm way too cool trending. And bathed.
I feel like Machine Gun Kelly is trying really hard to be cool. Cool.
That's what
I'm
like. And
Travis Barker is just cool.
Naturally
cool. Like, you know, like he's just kind of like a cool person.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't have to try so hard. So I feel like it would be so much more chill. Like, I feel like we could have an actual conversation and he would actually like look at you and talk to you.
For sure.
Right. You know, so.
It's not a desperation. Like, there's just something really. But you have people like that in your life. Like, when you meet somebody, you have people that are just attractive people in their, they have a pull, right?
Yeah.
Like they can just walk into any room and naturally pull people toward them.
Yeah.
Right.
He is like the opposite of that. Like he's like that reverse magnet where it's like, but he wants nothing more than to pull. You know what I mean?
Are you talking about Machine Gun Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
He tries just, it's too
much. Do you know who else I feel like is like that? Jared Leto.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Anybody that holds their phone like that and like talks on their phone
in
like,
front of their face.
In front of their face.
Yeah. Like
that, on speaker.
Oh, my, on speaker.
Just get out of here.
No.
I was just talking to Anthony about that the other day that like Jared Leto is one of those people because I was telling him about the conversation that we were having off mic the other day about people who are attractive, but something about them makes them unattractive.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto is like that. Like to me, I think Jared Leto is good looking. Like he's like an attractive man.
Yes.
But and he's that he is hands down so talented too. Like he is a great actor, but his there's something about like his personality that repels me.
Yes.
Like so much.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else like that.
I can.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just escaped me because I thought of something opposite. I actually just thought about opposite. Like the guy who, like, we just kind of had that FMK last week. Dude from Promising Young Woman. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Bo Burnham.
Is that who it is?
The guy Bo Burnham is in it. Yeah.
The guy who's like the jock who's like, she ties up to the bed.
Oh,
I think he's so good looking. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I can't, that shouldn't, because he's a fucking, always plays that same piece of shit garbage human. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't know who that is. I can't think of his name.
He's a comedian as well, but he's in everything and always plays that kind of like asshole jerk bro, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it makes me think of the poor kid from like Harry Potter that was the bad guy, or Joffrey in King of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. It's like they have that look about them, and I bet they're like really sweet and awesome in real life.
Yeah.
But you're like,
the guy who plays Draco, that's what everyone says. They're like, he's like the nicest person on the planet. Guy.
Like, just like meh. Face.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's just my face.
Just
it's
smack
my Tom Felton, I think is his name. He's like, yeah, it's just my face. I
just can't help it.
I can't help it.
Well, hey, secure the bag, you know?
100%.
So. Yeah.
100%. Okay. So I do want to give a shout out to our new patron this week. Jessica Creel, welcome to the Patreon fam. We are so lucky to have you. We will be getting your rewards out to you ASAP. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and welcome, just in time for December, where we're going to have a bonus movie episode. So we're going to be reviewing Love Hard.
Yeah.
And Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Yeah.
One of my personal faves.
I've never seen it. I can't wait.
Oh, it's so freaking bad.
In early 2000s, in early 2000s, McConaughey
is
like, oh man. Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Mm. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for your support. And we're going to take five and come back with stories.
Sounds good.
And we're back. All right, Cece.
All right. Well, I got my story off of Reddit.
I love that you're laughing.
I know. I love the giggle.
Hasn't started yet. Yeah. But she's like,
it's actually kind of like frightening,
but
like funny frightening. So I'll lead up with that. He says, I went on a first date once shortly after I moved out of my parents' house. My new living conditions were overcrowded.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
So I could just like picture.
Love it.
Boy's apartment.
Oh, disgusting. I can smell it, actually.
He's like, I don't want to bring you to my...
No.
He had a whole
There's
bunch
no curtains,
of...
curtains. It's just blankets.
Chaos goblin line cooks living in one space.
my gosh.
So. It's just blankets. Just
no sheets. So after getting dinner, we parked in a library parking lot for some privacy. Ooh. And made out a little.
I remember those days. It's like, you gotta find, look, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah,
you gotta find an abandoned parking lot. Like the amount of time I spent in people's cars.
Like, oh, yeah.
In my like late teens.
Listening to the radio.
Yeah.
I made you this mix CD. We can put it on and sit in your car.
Yes! Trying to get around the stick shift. You know what I mean?
I do.
So after getting dinner, we parked in a library parking lot for some privacy, made out a little, and then suddenly there were police lights behind us. Turns out the police use that library's adjacent park for dog training. So the officer wants to talk to both of us each individually.
Oh, come on.
Me first. I tell the whole truth. Bro, it's our first date. My place is full of people, and she's just not ready to be taken home yet. We liked how quiet and private it was here and thought the park looked nice. We were making out. I'm embarrassed to be caught in this situation. He doesn't seem concerned or bothered, and I don't feel like I have anything to hide. He sends me back, and then he talks to her. Then he comes back and handcuffs me.
What?
Turns out she is much more embarrassed about this than I was.
No.
So she decides to tell some little white lies.
No.
No.
She said we'd been out for dinner and she had a drink that didn't seem to sit well with her. And now she wasn't feeling well. She said I pulled off the road out of concern for her. She said she felt dizzy, lightheaded, and a little nauseous. So the officer asked her where we had gone to eat. For reasons she was never able to explain, she goes, I don't remember.
No.
So he told her to sit tight
and
he would be back to check on her in a minute. And then he comes to arrest me.
Oh, no.
This officer very reasonably concluded I had roofied her. And it was the right thing for him to do.
Of course.
To arrest me.
Oh, my God.
I would have concluded that I had roofied her if I were he.
Yeah.
I was severely distressed by this turn of events. Moreover, she was severely distressed when she saw me being arrested.
Why would she tell that story? Like, I completely understand panicking and just being like,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't feel well, so we pulled in. And I don't want you to track my trace, my steps. I don't know.
Eventually, much hysteria and a sheepish confession, it all got sorted out.
So much more embarrassing than just having told the truth the first time. Like, it's so much more embarrassing to be like, I actually lied to you for reasons unknown.
I just can't explain it.
I just can't. It's the cops. I panicked. I got off with a lecture and she got off with a warning. She, who I was not yet in a relationship with, proceeded to tell me that she's glad nothing bad happened. I feel that a catch and release arrest is still a pretty awful experience.
Yes.
And it would be a funny story to tell our children.
No,
but
ma'am.
I decided maybe I would look for love elsewhere.
This would be a funny story to tell our children.
She's like, he's like, where's your address again? It's like, drop you off.
Oh, no.
Okay. I have to get us into the spirit of things, I have a holiday party story.
Love it.
Okay. A few years ago, just before the holidays, I relocated to a new city for work. I moved in early November, and something about being in a new city around nothing but strangers as the weather turned colder and everyone prepared to go into the holiday season really got me down.
Aww, it's understandable.
Totally. It's cold. Everybody is wanting to hang out with their loved ones, and you're new and you don't know anyone.
Yeah. Cuffing season.
The only people I knew were my brand new coworkers. By the time the company holiday party rolled around in December, I figured I really needed to put myself out there and loosen up.
Uh-oh.
These people had only known me in a work context, and I wanted to show them that I could be a good time. The party is at a local bar, and my company had rented out the back room. It's dark and loud, but I'm determined to cut loose and make friends, so I head straight over to the bartender and take two shots of Jameson in rapid succession.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Not fucking around. Yeah.
No.
After about an hour and a few shots later... I really feel like a few shots later in an hour, like what are we talking, like five shots in 1 hour? That's a lot.
Feels like a lot.
That'd take me down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People start getting into the groove of things. I'm chatting and having a generally good time before a group of us make our way to the dance floor. After dancing for a bit, I noticed this beautiful woman eyeing me from across the floor. Mm. Now, I'm generally pretty shy when it comes to approaching women, but I'm feeling spontaneous, so I make my way over to her.
I think drunk. I think, yes. Alcohol is making you feel spontaneous. Let's be honest.
Call it what it is. We start dancing, and I can immediately tell that she's a bit wild. She starts grinding on me, whipping her hair around. It was hot. I can feel myself getting excited, and her hand travels south to rub over my pants.
Jesus Christ!
You're at a holiday party.
Work party.
Ma'am.
Work. I hadn't hooked up with anyone in months since moving, and was more than ready for some action. We make our way off the dance floor and find a dark corner where we start making out pretty hardcore.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't want to know. I'm so scared.
I was just about to suggest we leave, even though we hadn't really spoken to each other.
Oh, my God.
When I felt a hand on my shoulder. It was my coworker, Steve.
Oh, no.
Oh, Steve.
I was about to tell him to buzz off when I turned around, but he was looking at me so wide-eyed that I paused a moment. Then he said, "Dude," and shook his head slowly, his eyes darting between the woman and myself. "What?" I said. He pulled me away, and I went reluctantly. When we got outside, he said, "Do you know who that was?" Mm. When I said I didn't, he proceeded to tell me that the woman I was about to hook up with was the wife of our CEO.
Oh my God.
Merry Christmas and a happy new year.
I'm out.
Goodness. Oh,
no. Thanks, Steve. Did not know.
Steve's a bro.
Steve is a
bro.
Pro bro.
I swear to God, all the blood drained from my face and I sobered up immediately. This was my first work event with this company, and there I was, grinding with the CEO's wife on the dance floor in plain view of all my coworkers. I was mortified and terrified. I was convinced that I was about to lose my job. I went home and started looking for new jobs that very night.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Wow, he's packing his shit. Like, he still has his boxes from when he moved in. He's just packing them back up.
Yes, it's done for me.
I was a ball of anxiety when I went into work on Monday, scared to face my coworkers and convinced I was about to be sacked. Luckily, when I arrived, my coworkers were really cool about it. Apparently, the CEO had been away that night and wasn't there to see me filling up his wife on the dance floor. Only a handful of people saw us making out, and they all went out of their way to tell me they had my back and weren't going to say anything.
Oh, my God.
They took me out after work that night, and we all had a good laugh. If anything, this incredibly embarrassing moment brought me closer to my coworkers, who are now some of my best friends. They tease me about this night to this day, and everything turned out fine. But I do choose to skip the holiday party every single year for fear I will run back in to miss the CEO on the dance floor.
Oh, no.
Damn. Wow. She goes to the holiday party without
her husband who works there.
You know what? I feel like he was like, "You know, Janice, I got called away for work. I can't make it again this year." And she's like, "Oh, really? You can't make it to the holiday party?" Fine.
Show you.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. I don't know if I can compete with that. That was...
I mean, it is bold. Like, that woman is bold in front of all these people he knows.
Yeah.
Steve came in and
saved the day.
Saved the day.
Be a Steve.
You know what, guys? When given the opportunity, just be a Steve.
Yep. Yep.
Be a real Steve.
Be a real Steve.
All right. So, got mine from Reddit. Says... Dating at an older age is pretty difficult to begin with. This was when I was about 47, and an acquaintance I hadn't known long said she had the, quote, perfect guy for me.
Mm.
He had seen me at a sports event with my acquaintance, and I agreed to meet him for coffee. After asking a few questions about what he did, karate instructor, sports coach, and finding out he was about my age, showed up on the date, and he had very red eyes. He told me right away he was very stoned.
Well,
this was before it was legal in my state.
Whoa. Now,
I'm not anti-weed.
But you don't go to a first date stoned. Like, we have discussed this.
Hi. Yeah. He's not listening to us, that's for sure. But showing up stoned was the first red flag. He informed me he hadn't worked in several years, actually, and his coaching days were really 10 years in his past. He had been attempting in his 40s. To become a pro dirt bike rider.
Literally.
Hey, you know what? Shoot your shot. Totally. Follow your dreams.
Follow
you know?
Your dreams.
You're like 40 years 100%. Old and now.
I'm so sorry for even laughing as hard as I did because it's like, sure. Like, listen, you get one go around.
True.
If you've always wanted to be a professional dirt bike rider, like, go for it.
Listen.
However.
Didn't Pink's husband like almost die doing that shit?
Carrie Hart?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Listen. I am 43, but I do believe that I've always wanted to be a gymnast my whole life. Mm-hmm. So now is when I think I'm going to start trying for that goal. What do you think?
Go for the gold?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the gold, bitches.
No. Well, listen. Right.
So he wants to become a pro dirt bike rider, living with friends while he's pursuing his dream and blaming the, quote, industry for his lack of success.
No. Oh my God, dude. Oh, no. Well, I mean, I do have to say, as somebody that has supported somebody who is like older, trying to live their dreams and whose Listen. Divorce finally went through.
Yeah, it did.
Finally free and clear.
Look, wow. We are accepting all of the congratulations to Christina for your divorce finally going through. So worsties, feel free to flood our inbox.
Yes. I am not opposed to somebody making the sacrifices necessary to pursue their dreams.
That's right.
Agree.
How?
43, back in college.
Ever.
Just FYI.
That doesn't mean that I want to date someone like that in my 40s. And that's okay.
That's right.
My bag. Someone else in a different position in their life wants to do that.
Sure.
That's fine,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
I just have to say, like, where I'm at in my life right now, that does not sound like a fun
journey
for me to walk.
It doesn't sound like a fun journey for me either. No. Like, that is...
And as somebody, again, who also is in my 40s, who is also pursuing career moves and things like that, I will say that I do hold down a full-time job as well as that. And, like, listen, I professional dirt bike... has to start somewhere, right? Like, I feel like you, as a professional dirt bike rider, need to, like, probably also have, like, a job. Because it's not a cheap
hobby.
No, I mean, look at all of us. Like, I work a day job that I'm not like, this is my passion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would much rather be podcasting full-time.
Sure.
Or a dirt bike rider. Or dirt bike riding full-time.
Yeah.
But, like... Unfortunately, like, I have responsibility.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So you're living with in a house full of dudes. Anyway.
I cannot. Yeah. I'm not trying. It's like the guy from the first story and the guy from this story are living the same life 20 years apart. Oh,
it is the same guy. This is him 20 years later.
I see into the future.
I see your future. I started asking gentle questions just to get a full scope of the train wreck that was before me. He asked if I wanted to go dirt bike riding with him. I politely declined. The bill came for our coffee and pastries, and he sheepishly said he couldn't afford it, but would pay me back on our next date.
No.
Oh, honey, don't go.
And mentioned he was good friend of the guy my acquaintance was dating. I asked who the guy was and immediately recognized the name. The guy had been in the news recently as just getting out of prison for involuntary manslaughter.
Stop!
I offered to treat with no obligation to gently shut down the idea of another date. I was going to ask my acquaintance, what the actual fuck were you thinking? But learning she was dating with who she was dating was a complete answer in itself.
Yeah,
She's
absolutely.
Like, no, thank you.
And you're like, also, I don't trust your judgment anymore in this capacity.
No.
So thank you, but no thank you.
Yes, bullet dodged. Thank you so much.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yes, I stand firmly in the camp of like, live your truth, live your dream. Mm-hmm. However, that's not part of my dream.
That's right.
A man who shows up stoned. Lives with 8 other men in an apartment.
And listen,
we can't afford a scone.
We have never been ones that have said or advocated about the men having to pay for the first date.
No.
But I have advocated, and I will say, have enough cash or whatever
to pay for yourself.
That's right. Be prepared.
Yeah, always. I cannot stand that. I can't tell you how many times I paid on dates. It's like,
be a good scout and be prepared.
Go splitsies.
fine, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not one that's like, oh, the guy has to pay. Like, exactly. You know, but
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I am ready to lay down a very special snapped version.
You love
a tainted love.
Love
how
it.
Long has that show been on the air? I swear that show has been on for like so long.
Season 28 is what this one's from. So.
I feel like it's like there's like 32. So you might not even be on. Are you on the latest season?
No, okay. I put it on season 28. Love it. I wasn't feeling well the other morning. And this one came on and I was like, I just have a lot to say about this.
Can't
one.
Wait.
I'm excited. I'd never heard of this before, so we'll see if you guys caught this episode.
Okay.
But we're going to start off with a very frantic 911 call.
Of course. Yeah.
Where there's a woman screaming about a shooting, like a shooter being in an office building. Like, legitimately screaming.
Terrifying.
Wow. And the 911 caller's like, ma'am, please, like, okay, officer's on the way. Like, calm down, which of course always
works. History of calming down.
She is screaming at the top of her lungs. It's June 7th, 1989 in Kansas City, Missouri. So police officers are dispatched to the office building downtown. And when they arrived, they could hear her screaming outside the building, like screaming
Holy
for help.
Shit.
That's how loud also, she was.
Is this she's the only person in the
That's
office?
That's what I was
building?
About to say.
This is late at night.
Okay.
It's after hours and stuff. It's dark.
But if there's a shooter in the building, I don't know if I want to be screaming like that. Like, right. That's like an alarm.
Right.
Right?
You finding me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm hiding in a closet, like whispering.
Yeah.
You know, and terrified. So cops are like, they have their guns drawn. They go in and it's like,
sorry,
it's
you
dark.
Just pointed your finger.
Like, I know.
I really feel like that needs really to be said. Christina is acting out this situation. Like, finger guns pointed up right now.
They got the guns out. They decide not to take the elevator. They're going to go up the stairs. So they go up the stairs and they start hearing this noise. It's like, ksh, ksh, ksh.
That's the elevator closing on a dead body.
Stop.
Isn't it?
They open the door and they see the light. The elevator is
not
able to close because there's a briefcase holding it open.
Okay.
And as they get closer, the elevator door opens and they're seeing the deceased body of, they don't know just yet, but this person, they cannot identify who it is. They've been shot in the knee and in the shoulder. In the face at close range with a shotgun.
Damn.
So they're like, holy shit. And that's all they hear, the elevator just opening and closing and the lights are off
shotgun.
And it's dark.
Oh.
Okay, this sounds like a movie.
It does.
It sounds
right?
Like a movie.
It sounds like a horror movie.
Yes.
And they interview the cops in the episode and they're like, it was terrifying. Like, I will always remember that sight. It was so scary. And then they could still hear the woman screaming.
Yeah, so, this sounds like I'm in a haunted house right now.
Yeah,
like, for real.
Bitch, how do you have a voice still? Like, I scream for a little bit. Like,
so they still hear the woman screaming. So they knock on the door. They're like, ma'am, it's the police. It's the police. Now, granted, this is a 911 call with an active shooter. They just see a dead body in the elevator. For all they know, there's still an active shooter inside this building, right? This woman's screaming. They're like, ma'am, come out.
Fuck up.
It is the police. Meanwhile, still like guns out. Like, where's this shooter that has a shotgun here? They finally, after 3 minutes, which is a really long time, are able to coax Linda Culbertson out of hiding. She comes out with a shotgun, which she immediately like lays down and like grabs onto one of the cops who's like, I had to push her away because... For all we knew, there was still an active shooter here. So they're like, okay, like we've
I think you
secured-
guys got your active fucking shooter is what I think.
So they're like, shotgun here, shotgun victim here. What's going on? So they go and they continue to secure the building. And on the sixth floor, they find a security guard who appears to have been knocked out and tied up. So they relieve him. He's treated. He has like a bump on the head. And he's like groggy. He's like, I don't remember what happened. I just got hit from behind. So they're like, okay. And so they treat and release him and they bring Linda down to the station. They look at the shotgun and they're like, it still has live rounds in it. and it hasn't been fired. So they're like, okay, well, this is not the shotgun.
Okay.
That fired this. So
why are there so many shotguns in this building?
For
what?
Let's, you know, find out what's going on. So they're like, first of all, you're Linda. Who's this? And she's like, that's my boss, Donald Pierce. And they're like, okay. So Donald Victor Pierce Jr. was a Kansas City native, high school athlete. He looks like, his picture looks like something out of Happy Days. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he looks like a Happy Day, like Happy Days, like with the 50s glasses and the short, like, he's just like successful.
Sure.
He was all American, super popular, went to law school. He ends up marrying his wife, Kathy, who was an executive for Sprint back in the day. High powered.
Like, wow. She's like the shoulder pads on Kathy. I'm sure that they were just incredible.
The haircuts, the shoulder pads. They were just like
a real wide couple. Belt.
Power couple indeed. For Kansas City, they were like, and for all intents and purposes, like, everyone around them were like, they were happy. They had a happy marriage. Yeah. Like, they both had high powered careers. They would. They started traveling frequently again because, like, for the longest time, they couldn't get away from their careers. Mm-hmm. So Donald was able to get away because he finally, like, hired an assistant. He hired Linda, who he needed, like, a legal assistant, and she ended up being so hardworking and so amazing that she got promoted to office manager, and he was finally able to be like, okay, take a little break. I can go and travel with my wife. So things were going well. They were like higher up in their career and starting to settle into like the next phase of their life. They didn't have to work like so hard. Sure. They didn't have to grind, you know, as much. So Linda was an amazing worker. She's always the first one in the office in the morning, last one to leave the office at night. If she even left the office because she had a pull-out bed.
Oh, shit.
So sometimes coworkers would come in and she was still wearing the same clothes from yesterday. And it was just like pulled an all-nighter.
Wait, Linda?
Linda.
Oh, okay.
As the office manager.
That's weird. But,
that's question number one.
You were talking about Kathy, and I was like, okay, yeah, she's a woman, you know.
High-powered
in a time whenever that didn't happen as much. And like, maybe she feels like she needs to like sleep at the office sometimes. But I'm like, Linda?
Yeah.
Linda, you're not getting paid well enough for this.
Linda, like, do you actually have a house?
Go home.
Well, here's the thing. Linda's a small-town girl who wanted to move to the big city of Kansas City. So, but at 18, her plans were put on hold because she got pregnant. By the time she ends up working for Donald Pierce, she had been divorced twice and was a single mother with three children. Oh, so this is like almost like 9 to 10 years later.
How are you able to leave three children at home?
That it was my question number one. Yeah. It's not addressed. So I'm like, there are three young children that are under 10 years old.
What?
And you're sleeping overnight?
At the office?
At the office?
Yeah.
I mean,
she even has those kids.
That's latchkid.
Got a lot of
latchkey kid to the extreme if you're leaving three kids under 10 for that long.
Yeah, it's not. So she basically sometimes would sleep in the office. She took care of anything. But the coworkers they interviewed for the episode were like, didn't have a problem with her. Like, she was fine. But the police, when they're talking to her, she's like, we got threats all the time. All the time. We were constantly getting threats. There was this time where Don's office got vandalized with spray paint. Spray paint everywhere, all over his office.
That's what I was about to say.
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
Okay.
One time, Kathy had her sports car parked at the office, and a bunch of brake fluid got dumped on it, which destroys paint.
Yeah.
So her car got vandalized. There was another time where Don was on vacation with Kathy. This is another question I have. And Linda's working late at night, and apparently, like, someone came in and started vandalizing the office. Linda had to hide in the closet.
Okay.
And she was so scared that she ended up staying in that closet overnight. She ended up urinating and defecating in there and wasn't found until next morning.
I have a million questions.
Yes.
I have approximately 1 million questions. First of all,
this is dangerous.
How
Kansas City law firm.
Okay. Call the police. Don't piss and shit your pants. What is happening?
Why are you still working there?
Can you imagine being the coworker?
Linda. Linda, honey.
Yeah, listen. Why do you still work there if it's so that's high
the
stress? Thing,
because, all right, like, if I want to kind of give the benefit of the doubt, like, I'm like, all right, maybe genuinely there are times when you're so terrified and you feel like you can't leave a situation, okay? So I don't want to be too, like, hard on her necessarily about that, but I am like, look, man, if nobody is making you stay in that office late at night by yourself over and over and over again. That's why do you keep doing it if you feel so unsafe? Look, it takes shitting and pissing myself in a closet once
just for one me time. To be like, shame on me.
That's right.
One time.
Never again am I staying here past 5 p.m.
Nope.
I'm out. Done. I'm out.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, what kind of lawyer is he, though, that, like, it's
they
just,
didn't
like,
say. It's not. It seemed like he's just, like, a regular.
He doesn't, like, represent the Kansas law. City mob or something. Yeah,
no,
right?
He's not a mob lawyer. Nothing like that.
There is a Kansas City mob.
No, there is there not. Is. Oh, my God. Freaking money laundering and like potatoes or something.
You guys have obviously never seen Ozark.
Oh, right. Oh,
but Ozark isn't in Kansas City. The Ozarks are
no, but they're the Kansas City mob makes an appearance.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, much respect to the Kansas City mom, especially if they're listening. I am not.
No. I was saying okay. Like, I'm real scared. Like, I'm legitimately terrified for my life.
So
I need to make a phone call real quick.
So this is happening, and the cops are like, "What? Okay." And so she's like, "Well, that's why I have the shotgun." Like, Don ended up having to leave his vacation early with Kathy to come back because this thing happened with Linda. And then he took her to buy the shotgun for the office, which I'm like.
The office shotgun.
The office shotgun. And it's got like a sign above it and it hangs.
Also, what a weird.
Please sign it out. Sign out.
Pin on a string.
I also feel like a shotgun is such a weird, like, choice.
Yeah,
right? Like, for
no,
a protection
no,
weapon.
It's actually not.
Is it
We've
not?
Actually had this conversation because I was like, if I'm going to get an...
I would totally get a shotgun.
But yeah, shotgun, you don't have to be good at shooting.
Oh, that's true. You can just point and
spray.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Sorry. Just, you know, if you're going to sign out the shotgun.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you know.
Thank you so much.
You don't have to actually really be good with it.
Yeah. Just point it in the general vicinity.
That feels very safe.
Yeah. Right. Oh, absolutely. So multiple break-ins, computers have been stolen. And so that's why she had, you know, the shotgun in there. So they're like, so what happened this night? She's like,
ye old office shotgun.
She said that as soon as Don left, like, chaos ensued. She heard some voices and then gunshots. She said, it scared me. She ran and got the shotgun that she has. She hid it behind a desk and called the police department.
She just stayed in there.
Alerting this active shooter that she's there. So they're like, okay. So hang tight. They then search the office, do a big clean sweep. They find in the elevator an actual shotgun shell. So they're like, great. When we find the murder weapon, we can mash this up. Then they search Linda's office. And in her closet, they find a giant dildo.
Yeah.
Wait, I was not expecting that.
Me neither.
You got to go back a second.
She spent a lot of late nights by herself in that office. I guess
she has a giant dildo in her office closet. Which, first of all, you have a closet
in your shit. Yes, that closet has a history.
That closet has seen some things.
Oh,
that closet needs therapy.
Oh. And they find like a wrapped up shotgun. Another shotgun.
How many shotguns?
Wait, I thought that was ye old office shotgun.
Now. Wrapped. I have to say about the dildo.
Dildo first, and then I got to talk about this wrapping. Was it like Christmas wrapped? Like, like wrapped how?
Oh, so they bring this up. I actually paused the Snapped episode, rewound it. Like, did I hear that right? That she has a big, this is a police
the word
officer.
Big.
They said giant dildo.
Giant.
And so then I'm like, what does this police officer considered giant? They don't show it. And it is never brought up again. Nope. And I'm like, you can't lay a bomb about having a giant dildo in your work closet and not fucking have any kind of explanation or work bring it up again.
Bathroom.
Just first of all, did you bring it in your purse or like
was what? It a gift?
Was it a gift?
A white elephant gift exchange?
I think that the gun is wrapped, so it might be the gift.
No, what? The gun was like wrapped in like brown paper or whatever, right, so right. Like trying to be concealed.
Okay,
so they're like, and they test it. They look, they open it up, and immediately they're like, "Oh, these are the shells. They're the same kind of shells." And yeah, this is the gun.
Linda, so
the
gun's in honey.
Sweetheart.
You're not even trying.
Yeah. So they go back and they're like, Linda, my dear. What's going on?
We have a question. We have two questions. One giant question.
Giant dildo.
One giant question.
And then one other kind of important question.
Yeah.
So they ask her, they're like, so like when this all happened, like, weren't you scared that somebody else was going to come in while you were screaming or whatever? She's like, no. It was all locked up. It was just me in there. So they made sure to ask her that so that she couldn't later say like, oh, he must have gotten in and put the shotgun in my closet or whatever. So once she had admitted that no, she had locked the door and no one else got in there, they're like, so we found this shotgun.
We found a giant dildo.
And she immediately like clams up. So then they...
What did she think was going to happen?
Right?
Like, you know that they're going to search the building.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they had gotten her talking for like a long time before this happened. And she was like, well, you know, it might be these people that were threatening. And it also might be the security guards that Don just hired for the building since, you know, we've had all these break-ins. And Don is very racist and says racist things to them all the time. And his like...
Just sprinkle that in there.
Just sprinkle just that. Just a little bit of racism and whatever. So they're like, all right, I mean, I guess we'll talk to the security guard. So they talk to him and they're like, what happened, man? And he's like, says the story. And then they're like, okay, tell us again what happened. And he's like, actually, Linda hired me to kill Don. Like,
whoa.
Immediately. Wow. And the cops were like, he folded
instantly.
It made me think of that comic book where it's just like, just lie just longer. Just
lie for longer. Yeah. Like, yeah, I shot those four people. What?
What? Exactly.
40
like
hours.
That. It's like immediately folds and he says, yeah, she gave me $600. I didn't really want to do
it. Okay, $600?
Well,
that's like 1/6 a giant dildo.
Exactly. It's not that much money. And he ended up having to split it with his friend Quincy Jones, who he hired.
No. You cannot come out here.
There's
you
so much. Know,
Christina.
I was watching this episode. Snap. I was like.
You can't come in here and drop Quincy Jones.
Oh, sorry.
Like
no,
it's
Quincy,
casual.
Quincy Brown.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Quincy Brown.
I was like, Rashida's dad?
Quincy Brown.
I'm like, you can't come in here and just drop Quincy Jones like nothing happened. Like, that was so normal.
No, it's Quincy Brown. God, Quincy Brown. His friend Quincy Brown, he gave him $400 to actually carry out the shooting.
Wait. Oh. Hold on. So the first guy is only getting $200?
Yeah.
He got $200.
He got $200
to pay somebody else.
$400.
Why?
To do it.
Outsourcing, you know, he's busy. He doesn't want to do it.
But look, not even in 1989 was $600 like a lot of money. Like that's not like higher hit money.
No.
It's not like you can buy a car with it.
What's happening?
It turns out that like working all those late nights and stuff, Linda and Evison had become, Evison is the security guard's name, had become friends. Mm-hmm. And Linda confided in Evison that Don was racist. That he was sexually abusing her, that she was like literally grooming him for months, like telling him what a piece of shit Don was. So maybe that's how she got the discount of $600 for his hit. Mm. So Quincy basically like waits till Don comes out of the office, shoots him in the shoulder, and then shoots him in the knee. And Don starts crawling towards the elevator. Linda comes out and Don goes, Linda, help me. And Linda's like, finish him off. He's still alive. And Quincy's like, I don't want to do that. Like, it's like intense. He's only like 19 or 20.
Oh, baby. No.
He's like a baby.
Shit.
So she's like, if you want to do it, you do it or whatever. And so she's like, okay, boom. And she's the one that delivers the one to the face.
Oof. Wow. Oh, why?
So they're very, very easily able to get this story out of Quincy and Evison, who are just like, they're young. They're 21 and 20. Oh, they're so young.
Babies.
That got like, and they're like,
not to absolve them of responsibility by saying babies, but yeah, like
manipulated very young. Sure. Yeah. What was the fucking motive for her to do this?
Well, what they found is they basically call it a fatal attraction thing. When they finally talk to Linda, she starts saying that her and Don were having this long, drawn out affair and that he sexually abused her in the office and all this stuff. They can't find any evidence. None of the coworkers, his wife, his family, like there's no evidence of it whatsoever, that they're fairly certain. And after talking to Linda's two ex-husbands, that she had just created
a relationship.
This relationship between her and her boss and was like fatal attraction.
It's a fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he didn't return it, like, wasn't like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, she would make up these scenarios to be the damsel in distress, like locking herself in a closet and peeing and pooping him to leave his vacation early.
Okay.
And that's why all the vandalism happened to like Kathy's car, Kathy's picture in Don's office, that sort of thing was very much targeted. And so when all of this was coming to a head and she wasn't getting what she wants, like that was just the motive to eliminate him.
Wow.
And make herself like, you know, the victim having to be saved or whatever. But yeah, she's still in prison.
Yeah.
Evison is,
I'm assuming, got life.
Yeah. Evison got like 25 years. I think Quincy did too. And I did see that Evison has been released since then on parole. But yeah, that is the story of Linda Culbertson, the fatal attraction killer.
All right.
Of Kansas City.
Wow.
Wow. That took some twists and turns.
Holy. Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
Wow. I feel like my brain is doing the same thing that it's doing with the weekend and...
Yeah.
And...
does not Angela, compute.
You're like, I can't find this.
I can't find a drawer for this to fit in. And...
that shit is so scary. You know, we've talked about that many times, but just the fact that like someone can be obsessed with you and create all these fantasies about you without your like
participation
you
or
anything.
Knowledge.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Is very, very scary to me that could happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, and it does. It happens.
Wow.
It's wild.
That was wild. Dude, that story was.
Took me on a roller coaster ride.
Knee.
The thing that hooked me in from the top, though, were the actual police officers that responded to the original call, like talking about what it was like to enter that building. And it was like a horror movie at first. It's terrifying. And this poor guy, like, didn't do anything.
Not a fucking thing.
But give the wrong person a job.
Oh, devastating.
Terrifying.
I mean, I kind of feel like, though, you might have some hints that something's wrong when they want to get an office shotgun and when they bring a dildo to work.
I don't think you probably know.
Maybe he didn't know about the dildo, okay?
And like, maybe he didn't know about the office shotgun. Maybe she made that up. Like, maybe she was just like, oh, yeah, yeah. He was like, let's get an office shotgun.
Sign it out.
Ye old office shotgun.
What a All right. Who's got the office shotgun?
You guys, my turn to have the office shotgun.
Oh, man.
Well, what are you guys watching this week?
I started watching The Americans.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. It's on Amazon now. It's that FX show.
Isn't that Carrie Russell?
Carrie Russell and Matthew Reese.
Who are married in real life.
Yeah. Or they're partners. Yeah.
No, they're married. I
Googled it. I think but they've been together for like a long
time.
They're
together, right?
Yeah. But yeah, the show, I really like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's, I'm like almost done with the first season. Mm-hmm. If you like kind of like an espionage situation.
I do.
Yeah. Then I think you would probably enjoy it. And Carrie Russell is really good in it. And Matthew Reese is always good.
Yeah.
You know, he's on Perry Mason now. And, you know, I actually kind of feel like he's another one of those who, like, sometimes I look at him and I'm like, huh, why are you hot?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he is hot, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. Would recommend.
Brothers and Sisters. I loved him in that, too. Mm. Anywho, I'm watching, what am I watching? Oh, I'm just rewatching Castle. I have literally just been like,
comfort.
My, you know what? Like, just brain candy shit. Like, I am mm-hmm. literally, it's been like crunch time because it's getting to the end of the semester for school. And I've just been like working my tuchus off every day and then coming home and doing homework. And it's just been like, I just want something I don't have to think about at all.
Yeah.
It's perfect for
sometimes
that.
The brain can't handle, like, yes, I need no more additional new information. Like, I can't process a new show. Like, don't give me, like, anything else.
Just cannot.
Rewatch old stuff. Yeah.
Well, I have made a huge mistake.
Uh-oh.
In that Eric had never seen Black Mirror.
So good.
So we have started rewatching it, and that is not something that you should binge.
No,
also I still am not healed enough to. Also, enough time has passed for some of those earlier episodes. This was 10 years ago. I'm like, yeah, no, this fucking technology exists right now. It is in play, and I'm like, this is triggering my anxiety in such
these
a way.
Trying
just,
times,
just it's San not, Junipero. You just it's San Junipero the time. And then walk away.
You know, you want to know what my anxiety is like, which is funny because I'm watching like The Americans and The Sopranos right now, which are like should be high anxiety shows. But my brain is broken, and I was watching, Great British Bake Off, the other day, and which should be a relaxing show, but something happened, and one of the contestants, they were like, "It's we're coming down to the end, right? There's only like 10 minutes left of this challenge," and he goes to pull his sausage rolls out of the oven, and they fall,
and he just puts them back floor. On the tray. He did.
But I didn't even get to that because they fell on the floor and my anxiety spiked and I turned it off and put on a horror movie instead.
Oh,
I was like, I need a nice relaxing horror movie to get.
I'd put him back. I'd be like, I'm not wasting him. Got it me dirt.
It was
dirt
like, it was like 3 second rule. He's like,
he's like, don't tell them. He just put them right back on the tray. But I didn't know that. So I was like, he's not going to have anything to present. Like my anxiety.
Oh, I spoiled it for you.
I finished it. I did finish it later, but like days later.
You're like, can't.
I can't do it. Yeah. Got to put on a nice calming slasher film. Make up for it.
That's where we're at. I am looking forward to watching Jagged tonight, the Alanis Morissette documentary.
Ooh, Chris watched it the other day while I was doing homework and I could fucking hear it from the other room and I was like, God damn
I
you.
Mean, I loved Jagged Little Pill when it came out. That's
so good.
Oh, my jam. So I'm so excited.
I had broken up with a boyfriend.
Oh.
He broke up with me. Broke my fucking heart. Heartbreak. 16-year-old heartbreak.
Oh, that album?
That album came out literally months.
Do you remember the hidden song on it?
Yeah.
I used to sing the shit out of that. That was the best heartbreak song. It was like that a cappella one at the end.
Just that whole album.
Yeah.
Just top to fucking bottom. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like, that was the thing. Like, she came out with a banger album.
Yeah.
T to B.
Yep. Yep.
She didn't, it wasn't like, it was so funny because I was like, I don't know if I saw her live and I was like, but then I was like, did I see her open for somebody? It was so many years ago. And Chris was like, no, there's no way you could have. And I was like, you're right. Because it's not like she came out with a bunch of shit albums before, had like a song hit. Like she came out with the album. She came out with 10, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She came out with 10.
No B-sides.
There's no B-sides. No B-sides on 10.
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah, I'm interested to see the documentary because I've always thought, you know, and I've never really looked into it, like, what happened? Because there were a lot, you know, remember, like, Lilith Fair and, like, all those female musicians at the time. I'm like,
when's the Lilith Fair?
Why the fuck aren't more of these, like, still around?
Icons. Yeah, like, they should icons. Be icons by, like,
I feel like she's an icon. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at Alanis Morissette, and I think she's definitely an icon.
I think she is, too, and I think that it's coming.
Treated as such.
Right. I think it's coming back around now, where people are starting to look at her like that. But I think she kind of just fell off, and people just stopped talking about her completely for, like, years.
I look at her. I look at, like, Tori. Mm-hmm. I look at, like, you know, I mean, like, those
Fiona.
Guys. Fiona Apple. Here's the thing about Fiona Apple. Love
that's
her.
That's our couple year age difference because
I love Fiona Apple
I do too, but I will say
Tidal.
But I just don't feel like that. I don't see that her having that T to B.
I don't. I mean, I think she's got hits and she's got songs I like. It's like Mazzy Star. She's got songs I like. She's got Veruca Salt songs I like. But there's not, to me,
Title is T to B for me. Yeah. That one has like Criminal on it.
Yeah,
that
I love Title too.
That
yeah.
one had a whole list of singles on it.
Solid.
I mean, Extraordinary Machine's also really good.
Yeah, that one's good too. Oh my gosh, we could talk about music all day, but if you've got songs we should listen to, books to read, shows to watch, if you stories. Have those holiday party stories,
yes, please.
Meet the family, awkward work parties, anything like that, send them to our one-stop shop of websites, myworstatepodcast.com. We love you guys so much.
Cheers.